talks about, you know, the female genital mutilation.
It's female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
And you talk to Ayaan Hirsi Ali about it, and she gets labeled an Islamophobe because she talks openly about the problems with the ideology.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali, you do not speak for us.
You do not speak for us.
You don't speak for us.
You are not our ally. You're not interested in our lives or our freedom.
You've described Muslim women as being irrational.
Docile? Having no minds of our own.
You've called us slaves.
How can you claim to stand for our liberation
when you simply repeat the language of our oppressors? This is not the language of solidarity or understanding or freedom.
This is the language of patriarchy and misogyny.
This is the language of white supremacy.
This is the language used to justify wars, invasion and genocide.
You're not here to help us or stand with us.
You're here to profit from an industry that exists to dehumanise us.
An industry built on selling hatred, misinformation and stereotypes.
It's a lucrative career, appearing on panels, TV shows, big budget events,
where people have to pay big money to hear you speak.
You know what your audience wants, and you give it to them.
Despite globally recognised institutions
describing you as an extremist.
Despite your claims being debunked over and over again by academics and experts all around the world. Despite your closest associates being white nationalists and far-right politicians.
It seems that people never get tired of touring you.
To repeat the same rhetoric over and over again.
Because there is nothing quite as satisfying to a coloniser
than a subject who becomes the salesperson for their ideology. We're not here to say that Muslims are perfect.
No one is.
But your narrative doesn't support our struggles.
It erases them.
Like all women, we resist patriarchy and misogyny every day.
Like our mothers and grandmothers before us, we strive for dignity and equality.
Within our cultures and outside of them.
But you don't care.
Your livelihood depends on pretending our histories don't exist.
That we're simply faceless, nameless victims.
Too stupid to escape our savage traditions.
You collapse our plurality into a single convenient stereotype.
This is not intellectual. It's lazy.
This hatred you feed puts us in danger every day.
It encourages fear, persecution and violence.
This is not brave.
This is not progressive.
This is propaganda.
Bravery is not selling lies.
Bravery is living through the relentless hostility, discrimination
and pressure of a world that fears us.
A world that you helped to create.
Mm-hmm. And now she's here writing books and giving lectures.
FGM.
FGM.
Female genital mutilation.
So this idea of female genital mutilation, so most people have probably heard about this. It's cutting part of the women's private parts out or the entire thing or closing it or something like that. Basically, this practice began either in Sudan or Egypt, 800 BCE, 800 years before the birth of Jesus. Right? What does that say off the bat? This is not something that Islam introduced. It's not something that, you know, all of a sudden Islam, which came about 600 years after Jesus, or the Quran somehow introduced into this region. Now, where is this taking place? Primarily, it takes place in Africa, Northeast Africa, and kind of spread across Africa. This is an African issue.
So Christians are doing it there?
Christians are doing it there. Let me give you some statistics here. You got Eritrea, Christian country, majority Christian. You got Ethiopia, Christian country, majority Christian. You know, Christian population. And the rates of FGM in these countries are 90% and 75%. Meaning that Christians are doing it. You look at the country of Niger. Niger is an interesting case. 55% of Christians in Niger are practicing FGM. 2% of Muslims are practicing FGM. So what's going on here? The Christians are doing it and the Muslims are not doing it. So what happened all of a sudden? Something flipped around. You look in Eritrea, you're looking at level 3 FGM, which is infibulation, which is the worst type, right? It's tribal. One tribe will do it and the other tribe will not do it. You say, well, why is one tribe doing it? Because it's a cultural thing, right? All the evidence indicates that this is a cultural thing, right? That, yeah, some Muslims do. Some animists are doing it. People who are like, you know, have other type of religions. Christians are doing it as well. Coptic Christians in Egypt are doing it as well. right? So this is an African issue primarily. A few other countries like Yemen, Indonesia, because you know, it has to do with demographics of how people moved into different regions and traveled. This is not an Islamic thing. This is not an Islamic problem. It's not an Islamic issue. Did the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did he have it done to his daughters? No. Were his own wives had this procedure done? No. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. So what it looks like is that basically, you know, what probably happened is that this was a cultural practice, and the Muslims in that area were probably trying to use their religion to justify that practice, even though it's not a very strong justification. The Christians did exactly the same thing. They were had this practice as well, and they tried to justify it. And what's really interesting is when Christian missionaries arrived in Africa, and people were entering into Christianity, the Christian church, many of these Christian missionaries, they said, you guys got to stop this practice. You got to stop doing it, and they wouldn't stop. So they said, okay, we're going to kick you out. We're going to excommunicate you from our churches. You can't even be a Christian anymore if you continue this practice. And they continued it anyways. And they said, okay, fine. So many people got kicked out of the church, which means that this is a tribal thing. Are Muslims in Pakistan doing this? No. Are Muslims in Saudi Arabia? Are Muslims in Syria? Are Muslims in Lebanon? Muslims in Palestine? Muslims all across the world. Like I said, there's 49 majority Muslim countries. One third of the Muslim population lives in other places as minorities. The vast majority of Muslims are not doing it. You don't have any solid evidence linking this to, you know, to being a practice in Islam. Yet it keeps on being tied somehow with the religion of Islam. And I don't understand why this keeps happening.
It's like people, whatever they can get their hands on, either out of context, to twist it, to cherry pick, any stone they can get to throw.
That's it.
It just goes back to being disingenuous and misinformed and a victim, many people, to that false propaganda that's out there. But Joe, our friend Joe, talks about being professionally objective.
You're supposed to be professionally objective, professionally wise.
Being wise, right?
Yeah.
One of those things is, you know, to do what we're suggesting that he does is why not bring on your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Bring on someone like you, and let's go. Let's talk. Let's have it. That'd be a. I think that would really bring on a lot of viewership, huh?
Absolutely.
A lot of people be in tune. Like now he's got his buddy who's making these claims. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now we got someone who's gonna fact check it right there. Say,
right. You don't have to go back to the internet on the spot.
Why
searching
not,
around, right?
You know, yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. All right. Let's go to another one. Mm.